Lord Jesus, we just want to praise you and worship you. Lord, thank you for the blood that you shed and the way that it cleanses every sin, making us acceptable to you. The way that it cancels every claim that Satan makes against us, the accuser. And now they're canceled. They're cut off. There is no accusation against us. And we're declared not guilty, even though we have had guilt. But Lord, your justice is satisfied. Thank you. And Lord, thank you for your broken body and how because of it we can have you in us. And so Lord, we praise you for the reminder of that today with communion. And Lord, thank you for these elementary students. Lord, pray for your blessing on them. Lord, the folks who have prepared this week to teach them, Lord, would you fill that time with your Spirit? Would you go before them and behind them? And Lord, would you bless those teachers, those students, as we release them now? And then, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this room for the rest of our time. Fill Chrissy, Lord. She's been feeling sick this morning and the day she's coming to share. And Lord, pray that you would strengthen her body and Lord, her mind and her heart as she shares with us what you're doing. And Lord, we invite you just for that and the time in your word afterwards. Jesus, come. Would you take your place up front? Lord, let us see you today. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so elementary, you are dismissed. If you can take off, go to the back and find the people waving their arms and waiting for you, smiling back there. And then Chrissy is, she was, when Adventure Community Church started 12 years ago, Chrissy was our youth group leader when we started. And so some of our graduates, high school graduates, now look back on their time with Chrissy with fond memories, how she taught them God's word and led them on retreats and all sorts of different things. And Chrissy's gone off to serve with Mercy Ships. And she's here to tell you, and she's one of the missionaries that you support on a regular basis through your giving at Adventure Church. And she's here today to tell us more about what's going on there. And so, Chrissy, are you going to come up? You're going to start with a video. We're going to show a video first. Okay, so let's roll that. And then Chrissy's going to come up and share.
Every single time I see that video, isn't that amazing? Every time I get goosebumps and I think, oh my word, I get to be a part of one of the most amazing things in the world. I get to be a part of transformation, and that's what we do every day, and that's what we see every day. And that's God's heart for everybody. It's not just God's heart for the Africa Mercy. It's God's heart for all of us. And so today, I'm Chrissy, obviously. I get to work there. See if my PowerPoint will come up. And I get to be a part of transformation. And now I get to tell stories of transformation. And it is the most amazing thing in the world. Can I have my PowerPoint, please? All right, awesome. So I work on the Africa Mercy, which you'll see a picture soon. It is the world's largest civilian hospital ship. And we're a specialty surgical hospital, and we go from port to port in countries of need and do surgery and training. And we see a transformation every day. It's incredible. So the crew on the ship comes from 450 people that comes from 40 different nations. And so it really is a multicultural, multi-ethnic, lots of languages being spoken, and we all worship the Lord together. And we sit together in a room sort of like this, and we worship the Lord, and it's amazing because I think this is kind of what heaven, I think, might be a little bit like. So we're in the business of transformation. That's what we do. And so what transformation looks like, do I have it? Yes. Thank you for that. Not touching it. That's my home that you can see flashing, the ship. They're really exciting. I hope you can stop that. So, yeah. So, we see transformation. Every one of those numbers in the video that you just saw, every one of those numbers represents a life that was transformed. And some of those lives were our patients. So, the way that we see transformation in patients' lives is the very obvious before and after pictures. But it's not just the patient's life that gets transformed. It's their family. It's their community. And our prayer is that it would lead to a transformed nation. That's our heart. That's my heart. That's my big dream. Can we see God transform a nation through people? We know that transformed people can lead to transformed nations. And he can do that here, too. It's not just there. It's for all of us. That's God's heart. That's what he wants. And I get to be a part of it. This is making me a little dizzy. So we have our patients. And we see the amazing before and after pictures. And hopefully I can show you some more of those soon. And then we have our healthcare training. So not only do we get to fix faces and fix broken lives and restore families for people who were cast out of their families out of embarrassment or things like that, and we can restore families. We see restoration. Yep. Yay. Thank you. We also want to leave a legacy behind that lasts long after the ship departs, the pretty white ship that everybody wants to come to. And that is by training healthcare workers. And so that's what I do. That's my job, is I oversee our medical training program. I play the role of advocacy. I do some teaching, although I'm not a doctor and I don't have a medical background. I coordinate everything that has to do with all of the medical training we do in the country. And I sort of stumbled into this role about 2 years ago. And I wasn't qualified, and I said no a couple times because I wasn't qualified. I didn't have the skills. I'd never done anything like it before. And God said, no, this is for you. And let me tell you, I have found what I was created to do. It's amazing. I love it so much. And every day is a walk of faith. I'm walking on water and trusting him for the next step because I don't know what I'm doing. But it's amazing what I get to be a part of. So let's see if I can catch up to this. Okay, so Mercy Ships, our mission and our vision is here. So our mission is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, bringing hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor. And how do we do that? That's our vision. We use hospital ships to transform individuals and serve nations one at a time. So what does hope and healing look like? This is what I've already mentioned, what transformation is. What is hope and healing? For our patients, it's our direct medical services. It's our surgery, our dental team, our eye team, all of those surgical numbers that you saw at the beginning on the video. For our participants, it's medical training. Hope and healing for a doctor or a nurse working at the local hospital in Tomasina, Madagascar, where the ship is right now, is help me to do my job better. I became a nurse. This is what they tell me. I became a nurse because I want to help people. And when I ask them, so what's the hardest thing about your job? I can't help people all the time. I know what to do, but I don't have the skills or the equipment, or they have the desire, but they can't actually help the people that they were called to help and to serve. And so hope and healing for them looks like training and training opportunities. So that's what I do. And then our crew. Nobody that comes up the gangway leaves the same person that they came. And that's our hope, and that's our prayer for our patients. But it's the same for the crew. I'm not the same person that I was when I walked up the gangway the first time. And I've got some stories of transformation there as well. So this is what I've already covered. Transform people lead to transform nations. I'm going to skip by that really quick. Okay, I just have some transformation stories to tell you. This is Minette. She's Malagasy. And if you look in her eyes, what do you see there? You see hopelessness, despair, sadness. Why? That's a tumor growing out of her back. 9.5 pounds. She covers it up, but she can't get a job. Her family has abandoned her. She can't live life in Madagascar the way that she was created to live life. So we offer a restoration and healing, and that's her now. I love their eyes in every one of these. You can see it in the eyes. She's got hope. She can go back to her family. She could raise her own family. She could get a job now. She can transform her family, which could transform her community and lead to a transformation. This is Minette on the right. And she went back to the Hope Center, which is where we house our patients when they have to be with us for a long time. She had quite a lot of healing and wound care that she needed. And she started transforming the patients in the Hope Center. A lot of them are before surgery, and they feel like they don't have hope. They don't know how to live with their ailment, whatever it is, but they also don't know how to live without it. And she started spreading the light. Minette started spreading the light in the Hope Center and transformed several people in the Hope Center and gave them hope and told them that it's going to be okay and that their lives could transform too. She's a force. This is Mamisi. He was afflicted by a disease that is only known in the developing world called Noma. It's a flesh-eating thing. It dissolves the flesh of your face. He is a young man, you can see, but he cannot get a job. He cannot support his family the way that he needs to in Madagascar. He cannot do any of these things. He can't find a wife. He can't have a family because of this thing. Now, Noma, it kills 90% of the people that get it. So the fact that he has survived is already a testament to God's greatness and the call that God has on his life. We know that when we see our Noma patients. And so this is him now. He's sassy. I mean, can you use sassy when it's a man? We started taking pictures. He's like, yeah, look at my nose. Yeah, look at that. He can go out and get a job now. He can support a family. His life has been transformed. And you all have been a part of these stories. That's why I'm telling you today. You've been a part of it because you support me and I get to be a part of it. So I just want you to realize today the amazing things that you get to be a part of. Okay, that's Mamisi. This is Sambani. You saw him in the video. If you follow Mercy Ships on Facebook, you probably saw a lot of him as well. This is the biggest tumor we've ever had on the ship, 17 pounds. That's like a toddler hanging from your face. It's a big tumor. It was sucking his life away, actually. He was very ill. He wasn't going to make it much longer. He walked for 3 days. He walked. For 3 days, because he heard there was a ship that might be able to help him. We returned him to his ship. A team from the ship went back to his village with him, and they had to abandon the cars a day and a half walk away because there's no roads to get to his village, and they had to walk in to walk him home. But he didn't look like that when he went home. He looked like that. Do you see it in his eyes? His family's been transformed. That's his grandson that came with him. His grandson had to carry him much of the way when he came to the ship, because he didn't have the strength to walk. And he walked back into his own village on his own power, and his village didn't recognize him. He has a mirror. This is him a little bit even after. He's had the swelling gone down, whatever. He looks amazing. You can see it in his eyes, but he carries a mirror around. He can't believe that this thing that has been on him for 15 years is finally gone. That's transformation. So those are just a few patient stories. And so I mentioned our medical training program. This is what I get passionate about. You think I'm already passionate. I get really passionate when I start talking about this stuff. This is Dr. Andre. And he is an orthopedic specialist surgeon. He did his medical school training in Tana, in the capital of Madagascar, which does have a medical school. But he had to go overseas to get his specialization because they don't offer that in the country. He's come back. He is so thirsty to learn. You can see that he's pretty young still. He's got a lot to learn. But he is so eager to learn. And he learned the transformation story with Dr. Andre. We invited him on board to train alongside our orthopedic surgeon. And he was blown away by everybody working on the ship is a volunteer. He couldn't believe that we were doing this for them for no money. What? It's really free? The surgery is free and the care and the food and all of this training. It's all free? Yeah. It's all free, just like the grace of God is free. And we tell them that, and he told us, I had planned to go to France as soon as possible, because you can't make a lot of money as a doctor in Madagascar because people can't pay. It's just very difficult. So he had planned to leave Madagascar, where he's from, and go to France where he could make some more money. And by working alongside of us, he's decided, no, you came to help these people, and I can see the impact that it has. I want to stay. I'm going to stay in my country. I'm going to help fix the broken medical training and medical system in my own country. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to invest in it. That's transformation in his life, in his family. He could be an agent for transformation in the country of Madagascar based on his experiences with us. This is Annie. She's an OR nurse. She's my best Malagasy friend. I love her. She's so excited. She couldn't believe that we would invite her onto the ship multiple days so she could learn. Here in this picture, she's learning newborn resuscitation, which is an important skill if you're going to help deliver babies. And so many times we've heard stories of nurses and other healthcare providers who they know the theory, but they've never been able to practice. They've never been able to practice on a baby mannequin like the one you see in the picture. And They can't do it in real life if they can't practice. So we offer them the opportunity to practice, and they're so excited. And when we go back and ask a few weeks later, has it changed your practice? Has it saved any lives? Yeah. Yeah, it has. Here's another group of people who've done newborn resuscitation training out in a village. Michelle taught Nandi and Eva how to do it. There's the baby in front of them. And that baby right there, that baby's alive because of what we taught them. She was born a few days before, and she wouldn't have survived had they not had the newly acquired skills that we were able to teach. This is the sterilizing team at the hospital in the city where we work. And I wish I had more time, and I don't. But Christina is the story that I'm going to focus on right now. She's in the middle. She was a crew member. Here's a crew transformation story. She came to Sierra Leone, and she saw how awful the situation was in sterilizing. She was a sterilizing technician. Those are the people that clean the instruments that are used in surgery. So no matter how great your surgeon is, if the instrument's not clean, it's not going to end well for you. Okay? She saw that it was terrible, and she also saw that there's nobody in the world doing anything about it. And so she went back to Canada, and she started her own NGO to address the need for sterilizing technician training across the world. She works with Mercy Ship. She also does projects on her own. She's transformed her family and found her purpose and her calling in life. This is Amy. She's a nurse trainer that was on the ship. She's just recently left the ship. She said, I know what I'm called to do. I'm called to teach. She never would have had that opportunity had she not been on the ship. This is Natalie. I don't have time for Natalie. This is me, and this is Kirsty. Kirsty's the hospital director. This picture was taken the day that we were sitting in the hospital on the ship. We were waiting for the prime minister. And we think, just another Thursday waiting for the prime minister. How is this my life? Right? We get to play advocacy. We get to speak on behalf of the patients that we see that don't have the support, a supportive government that can actually do something. And so that's what we were meeting with the Prime Minister for. Amazing. God has transformed her life and our platform that we're able to do this from. So our expectations in the coming year, our expectations are stories of transformation, lives changed, that nobody would leave the gangway unchanged, whether it's a crew member, a patient, a participant, anything like that. And we want to look more like Jesus every day. That's my prayers. I want to look more like Jesus tomorrow than I look like Jesus today. And that's transformation. That's incredible. Our big dream, so that's just expectations. We expect amazing things on a regular basis. Our dreams, like I said, government advocacy, and these are some things that you can be praying for, big dreams. We'd love to see that cesarean sections could be free in Madagascar. I don't have time to talk about why. It would have a dramatic, dramatic effect of the health of the country. We're doing a surgical safety checklist training. Again, dramatic, dramatic change in the medical safety of the country. These dreams, they can't happen unless God says, yeah, and gives us the ability to do them. But we're going to dream big, and we're going to pray them into existence. We're trying to set up, we'll see how it goes, a medical training center and get some of the new medical curriculum in the medical schools. This could transform a nation. So, and then we also have a new ship coming in 2018. I realize that I have just touched on, you probably have a lot of questions and probably want to know more information. I unfortunately don't have time today or right now, but what I want to invite you to is to join me in praying for our patients, pray for our participants, pray for those big dreams, pray for transformation, pray that God would continue his transformation in me and allow me to continue to be a part of their lives and be a part of their stories. I ask that you spread the word about Mercy Ships. This is how we get crew members, people interested in coming, and also Mercy Ships is entirely supported by private donations and funders and people interested in being a part of all of these stories. And so I ask you to consider being a part of that and then and donate on top of that. And if you want more information about that, I would love to give that to you. But ultimately, we're in the business of transformation, and you all get to be a part of that. And so thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your support of me. Thank you for being a part of today. I'll be at Sandlot Sunday. I'd love to talk to you further if you've got more questions. But I just hope and pray that you are able from this to catch an idea of the incredible things that you get to be a part of through Mercy Ships and in Madagascar.
Thanks.
Thank you. Milt and Linda are our missions team leaders, and I've asked Linda, would you pray for Chrissy? Let's join together, and just wanted to give you a gift. I've got a little feedback. Hopefully that'll get cleared up here. Let me scoot this way a little bit more, and we're going to pray. Would you guys join us? We're going to pray for Chrissy and her ministry.
Lord God, I just thank you so much for Chrissy and for calling Chrissy into your work in Africa on Mercy Ship. I thank you, Lord, that you're with her, and I pray that you'll go before her, prepare the way so that everything that she's assigned to do is ready and easy and there are no obstacles. I pray for protection for her. I pray, Lord, that among the people that are here today, that you will put in their hearts, if they are to pray for her on a regular basis, and to put in their hearts if they are to support her. I thank you, Lord, that you're here and that you're with Chrissy and you've led her to where she is today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Chrissy, part of the reason why we're having Sandlot Sunday, thank you guys. Part of the reason why we're having the Sandlot Sunday and the get together at the park is Joel and Lorena will be there, Chrissy will be there, and it's going to be a great opportunity to sit around, bring your lawn chair. If you want to get involved in frisbee and things like that, that's great. But mostly it's a hangout time with our missionaries who are back to get some time just one-on-one with them or three-on-one, asking lots of questions and connecting. So let's pray before we dive into this this next piece. And I'm hearing feedback up here. You guys hearing it? Yeah, if we could get that kind of cleaned up. Let's pray. Jesus, pray that you would be visible, that you would get seen today. And that you'd be displayed, and Lord, that we would be in awe of you. I just want to ask each of you just to take a second, just between you and the Lord right now, and give him permission. It's a risky thing to give God permission, but I want to invite you to give him permission to your heart. Give him permission to speak to your deep heart. Would you give him permission? Jesus, you can speak to my future and what you want me to do. Can you surrender to him at that level right now? I give you permission to my future. And maybe a submission to him that says, I will follow you. I will follow you. Show me, Lord. Show me what you have for me today. Amen? Good. On one occasion, I'm in Luke chapter 10, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? So this guy's he's an expert in the law. He's a lawyer. It's interesting that Jesus says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Can you imagine talking to a lawyer about the law? A lawyer asking your advice about the law, how would you respond? So Jesus appeals to his expertness, right? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God, verse 27, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He wanted to justify himself. I think he didn't want to appear as a simpleton. He didn't want to appear stupid. He asked a simple question, Jesus gave him a simple answer, and that was the end of it. I think he wanted to sort of, I want a deeper meaning and deeper understanding. Who is my neighbor? Right? And Jesus never just simply answers our question, does he? He always brings transformation. And the story he tells next is meant to transform our lives, the trajectory of our lives, and has transformed the church and its direction for 20 centuries. Okay? And here's the story. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem from Jericho, and when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to that place, saw him and passed by on the other side. What's the difference between a priest and a Levite? Aren't priests Levites? Huh? One's a lawyer? Well, the priest is actually a priest. He's the one who's doing sacrifices in the temple. He's serving as a priest, kind of like maybe equivalent would be a modern-day pastor. A Levite is the tribe that the priests came from, but they're not necessarily priests. But they were commissioned to take care of the temple, take care of all the responsibilities. It'd be a little bit like, in modern day terms, there was a pastor who walked along and he passed on the other side. And then there was a deacon who walked by and he passed on the other side. Or the head of the small group ministries, okay? A director, okay? So a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 200 denarii. It's about $300 of our money today. And gave them to the innkeeper. And he look after him, he said. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So this expert in the law, this lawyer comes to Jesus, and he answered Jesus according to Jesus' teaching. Actually, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself is something Jesus had been saying, so they had been paying attention. But it's clear in the text that he came to test Jesus, and so when he comes to test him, Jesus says, what's the most important thing? And he quotes Jesus back, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, awesome, do that and you will live. Simply love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and you will live. And so he wanted to justify himself, not come off like a too simple a question, you know. And Jesus gives him and us a story that was meant to change how we live our lives on a daily basis. So what I want to do for the rest of our time is give you a snapshot of what we covered last Sunday night in the final session of the Truth Project. I've been going through the Truth Project with a group of folks at Adventure Church. It's a one-hour video, and it was so powerful, I want to just show you that video, but we don't have an hour. Okay, so I'm going to summarize it for you and walk through some of it because it so perfectly fits in to where we're at in our series on insider, getting more intimate, closer to God, becoming an insider, becoming somebody that God shares insider information with. And we have walked through these steps of potter clay, sheep shepherd. Potter clay being God sometimes has to treat us like a potter and us as clay, because we need to get to a point in our lives where we just put our hands up and say, I give up. I give up on my own leadership. I give up on running my own show, my own life. I need a new leader. I surrender. Clay has to get soft, right? And then sheep shepherd, where Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. You can have a conversational relationship, a conversational relationship with the living God, where you can learn to hear his voice through his written word and through that still small voice that you learn to tune into. And we spent 4 weeks talking about that. And today, we're talking about master servant. So, why do you think Jesus picked a Samaritan to be our hero in the story today? Why a Samaritan? What did they think of Samaritans? Huh? They despised them. Why? They didn't worship correctly. They were half-breeds, white trash, right? I mean, honestly, it'd be a little bit like folks in, you know, how people maybe who live in Medina might think of people in Gold Bar. Okay? Anybody from Gold Bar? Here? All right. Welcome. You're in the right place because you're our hero. All right. Here's the thing. I mean, it's true. I mean, the reality is that there are people, for whatever reason, that we may look down on, their economic standing, our perception of their intelligence, or our estimation of their intelligence, whatever it may be. It could be race, whatever, but the Samaritans were not liked by the Jews. The Jews were better than the Samaritans, okay? So our hero is this guy from Gold Bar, all right? And why did he use that guy as our hero? Why do you think? What was Jesus' point in using that guy? Huh? I'm sorry? To shame them. Maybe. What else might be the reason? Okay, you love people, but the Samaritan, yeah, but the Samaritan was the hero, right? He's the hero, right? The Samaritan wasn't the guy hurt. He made the hero the Samaritan. Why? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, there's no condition to his love. That's good. Kathy. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what matters to... It doesn't matter your socioeconomic standing. It doesn't matter even your how religious you are, how much you go to church. These guys were the church guys that walked on the other side, right? What matters is the depth and quality of your love. What matters to God... Now listen to that for a second. Internalize that. What matters to God is the depth and the quality of your love. Not what you know, not your standing, not whether you fit in or not fit in, whether you're liked or not. The depth and the quality of your love is what matters to God. Who is Jesus telling us? Who is our neighbor, according to Jesus? Who's he telling us our neighbor is? Everyone in the story who's our neighbor. The person you see that's in need. What was the situation with this guy? This guy that was in need. He was beat up and left for dead. What else? He what? He was robbed, so he was destitute. He was naked. They took his clothes. Do you find it difficult to walk up to a naked, destitute, beat-up person? I do. I get walking on the other side of the street. Do you? I mean, does that make sense? Do you see that in your heart? I do, and frankly, it breaks my heart for myself. And Jesus' example was kind of this random person who was suffering, and I think for our purposes today, it's anybody who's needy, okay? Anybody who's been beaten down, anybody who's been left alone and is hurting. Are there people in this congregation that feel left alone and hurting? Are there people in your life, in your circle, at work, who feel left alone and hurting? That feel like they're outcasts? You remember at school, some of you are still in school, but I remember just the dividing line at school was so clear between those who were acceptable and those who were not. And actually, that dividing line can sort of happen in church too, can't it? You ever feel, anybody here ever feel like they're on the wrong side of that line? You don't have to raise your hand for that one. I have. Let me ask you this now, and this is a kicker. How far was Jesus asking us to go? Like what? How far did the guy go in the example? Let me just reread that part. And if somebody wouldn't mind, there's a cup of coffee over there, and right there on the side, if you wouldn't mind bringing it up because I need some caffeine. All right. He says, he went to him. Thank you, Susan. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, which is about $300, and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." He left his credit card. He left his credit card. Why does Jesus tell us this? What is motivating him? Why is he telling us this? What's that? Yeah, I mean, he's just really going out of our way to love somebody, to take care of their needs in a incredibly self-sacrificing and financially an expensive way. He's asking you and I to spend our lives and ourselves for those who are needy and in need. Okay? Why? Why does he ask us? I mean, he's asking us to go all the way, right? He's not just, you know, throw a few bucks at him. Hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I buy you a McDonald's lunch, you know, and wish you on your way? You know, why is he asking us to go that far? Yeah, Michael. I love you, Michael. Because he goes all the way. I want to suggest to you something that's become a real radical transformation in my life this last week. I think he gives us this example because it's his nature. He is the Good Samaritan. He's actually like that. He's that guy. And he is determined to rescue the needy and the outcast and the brokenhearted. And then he's also determined to mold us into a picture of him that we were originally intended to be. Let's just take a look at a few verses, okay? Old Testament. 1 Samuel. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. What is God like? Job 5. He saves the needy from the sword in their mouth. So there's the oppressors there. He's got the guy, he's got a sword in the mouth of the needy person, ready to destroy him. He saves them from the clutches of the powerful. Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. Psalm 35, you rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, Isaiah says. Isaiah 41, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, so all went well. Look at this. Look at that last line. What do you make of that? What's he like? Who is this God? Is that not what it means to know me? You are in a relationship with a being who cries for the hurting, whose heart breaks for those in need, who rises up to rescue the oppressed, who figures out a way to get surgeries to those we saw in those pictures. Psalm 9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who? The oppressed. The Spirit, look at, and Jesus went up into the temple, Luke chapter 4, quotes this as his mission. What's my mission? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Who is he coming after? The poor? Brokenhearted, captives, and prisoners. We're stumbling onto the heart of God. Why does he heal your broken heart? Because he's that kind of guy. That's the kind of person he is. Look at this verse. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. And then how does he tell us to live? Isaiah 58. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then what's going to happen? Your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. What will cause your light to shine? What will cause you to rise out of darkness if you feel like you're stuck in darkness? What will cause your light to be like the noonday and the Lord to guide you always? Spending yourselves for the oppressed, the hungry. Look at this one. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy, Proverbs 31 says. And then now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom, Ezekiel says. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. Christians down through the centuries realized that as they read Scripture, that this was the heart of God. That this is what we're meant to do when we're light in a dark world. But I think in our modern era, we've sort of lost it. We've lost sight of it. Where did the hospitals come from? The orphanages. The universities. Did you know that they came from the church? The Christian church rising up to heal the sick, to educate the illiterate? Let's watch a clip to help us to remember where we came from.
The second century, and it was a Roman soldier who was stationed in Antioch. And a plague had broken out in Antioch.
A little louder.
And we have extant a copy of the missive that he sends back to Rome. And he says something to this effect. He says, this plague has broken out, and everybody is moving out of the city. I've moved the troops back for their own safety. Families have abandoned their loved ones. The doctors have even left. Of course, all the politicians are out. But one curious thing is happening. There is a sect in Antioch who are themselves, some of them not infected, who are taking care of the dying. And they do this out of love for this God that they worship, whom they call, and I think he mispronounces or miswrites the name, Christus, something to that effect. And it's very interesting to see, so early on in Christianity, that believers were willing to risk themselves to tend to those who were vulnerable.
I think I've come to realize that I have missed much of God's heart and his mission because I've dismissed hundreds of passages of Scripture because of that one verse that Jesus said, you will always have the poor among you. You know that passage where the gal comes and she breaks the bottle of perfume and pours it on Jesus, and Judas says, this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you. You won't always have me. You know, I think I've allowed that. I didn't realize I was doing it, but I think I've allowed that to sort of dismiss so much Scripture about what God has called us to as light in this dark world. And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about with me, what did Jesus spend his time doing here when he walked the earth? With the sick and the lame and the outcast, right? Right? How have you interpreted Jesus busying himself with the sick and the needy and the outcasts? How have you interpreted that? How have you thought about that in the past? Huh? Those people were willing, the other people were standing in judgment of him. Okay, good, good. You know what I've thought? I've thought it's kind of like Obama going to a soup kitchen. You know? Why does Obama go to a soup kitchen? For the photo op, right? And though I would never imagine that that's the heart of God, I kind of sort of thought, well, you know, the Lord's probably kind of he's trying to kind of, we've made it all about religion, we've made it all about these things, and he's come to try to teach us a little lesson, show us some things. You know what I mean? This should be your priority more. But what I'm coming to realize is, no, this is who he is. This is who he's been. All throughout the Old Testament, all those verses were Old Testament about the needy and the outcast. He's always been that guy. His heart thrives and bleeds caring for those who are in need. It's just how he is. And then you know Matthew 25, right? The sheep and the goats, right? Where Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes and all his holy angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne and he'll divide the people among him before him as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, right? He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and he'll turn to the sheep and he'll say what? Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me, and I was in prison and you visited me. And what does he say to the goats? You didn't do those things. What's he want us to do? He's transforming us back into his image. And there's his image. His image, this God that you have a relationship with, that you pursue, that you're finding more deeply, that you can have intimacy with more deeply. His heart is for those who are in need. And he calls us to be a light and to step out. There's a critical shift. See? When you find out that, when you realize that God has an agenda. Follow me here, okay? This is the most important part of my talk. God has an agenda. He is interested in caring for the weak, the needy, and the outcast, binding up their hearts, saving them, rescuing them. And when we serve him by serving them, we participate in his nature. When we serve him by serving them, we participate in his nature. There's a critical shift in a Christian's life when they give themselves over to God fully. When they say, you can be my master. I pledge myself to you and to your agenda. And Jesus modeled this. Listen to what he says. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your what? Whoever wants to be first among you must be your... Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to and give his life as a ransom for many. What's he like? What's he like? Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Jesus' perspective was, I came here to take care of the outcast, the needy. And it's not just Jesus. Let's take a look at the apostles. Paul, a servant. And the word there is doulos, it's bond slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. James says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, for those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, and then John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John, who testifies to everything he saw. These guys knew more about the grace of God than anyone on earth. They knew more about what it meant to be a son or daughter of God than anybody else in the world. They knew more of what it meant to be a friend of God than anyone else in the world, but they chose to portray themselves first and foremost as servants, including Jesus. Why? I think it's because they realize that this is the depth of the heart of God, this servant-heartedness, and they wanted to be like him. They realized at the core of his heart is the heart of someone who breaks for the needy, breaks for the hurting, breaks for the outcast, and runs to them and helps them, and they wanted to be just like him. And until you shift and get that heart, until I shift and get that heart, I'm not sure we can have the higher levels of intimacy like we're meant to have them with God. There comes a point in your spiritual journey that you pledge your service to God, where you pledge to be his slave as an act of love. And you see yourself like him. You begin to see yourself like him, a humble servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So as we're going to continue talking about master servant in this step, notice Jesus' words in Luke 17. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." The master-servant step is about realizing that God is God. He is Lord. He is in charge. He is in authority. And he has the right to tell me what to do. And I need to obey. It's about realizing that he has an agenda, a mission that he is committed to, that's worth giving his life for, and it's worth our lives. He has an agenda, and it's not often the same as my agenda. And my rightful posture in the conflict of those two opposing agendas is to yield my agenda to his and obey him. We each have a will. And this step is about relating to God at the level of the will, where I submit my will to his will. Servant master. So we're going to continue talking about this next week. But what this has got me thinking this past week personally is how can I be actively, daily, weekly involved in rescuing, fighting for the needy, the oppressed, the outcast? I want you to think about the people in your circle, in your world, who don't fit in, who are the outcasts. They may feel like an outcast, who are in need. Maybe the people you don't yet know that God would call you to step out to. We're going to be talking more about that next week. Zach's going to come up and lead us in the offering and close us in prayer.
Awesome. Thanks, Randy. You're the man. Appreciate it. Hi. I'm Zach. I'm one of the interns here at Adventure, specifically junior high intern. Woo! Junior high! Good. All right. Hi, Kobe. What's up, guys? Okay, cool. So we're going to enter into a time of offering. So if the ushers could come forward. I already see Mike's here. Oh, he's set. He's on fire. All right. So this is a time for people that consider Adventure to be their home. So if this is your first time or you're just visiting, don't worry about this. This is specifically for people that call Adventure their home. And we want to obey God and tithe and give money to him. So I'm going to pray for that. Lord, thank you. And Lord, I pray that while we surrender our finances, Lord, will you give us abundance, Father God, and give us blessings, Father? Lord, thank you for adventure, Lord, and thank you for what you are doing. And yeah, thank you so much. Amen. Awesome. So we'll pass those out. I've got a couple announcements. Today is Sandlot Sunday. How many of you are planning on going to Sandlot Sunday? Oh, awesome. That's awesome. For those that didn't raise their hands, shame on you. I'm totally kidding. So there's going to be some cool events. We have a bouncy house. Yeah, that's why I'm going, okay? It's a bouncy house. Hoping Seth will join me on bouncing on that bouncy house. Susan. Everyone look at Susan. She's dancing. See that t-shirt right there? So we found a ton of those t-shirts, and we want to give those away. So isn't that awesome? That's sweet. So we're going to give those away. We've got free hot dogs. And don't forget, Chrissy Close and the Kings will be there if you want to talk to them. Also, in the back, the cafe ministry. A couple of the girls are going to college, so after summer, they're going to transition out, and so we need more volunteers. So if you feel like the Lord wants you to be involved in ministry and be in the cafe, serve coffee, energy, it'd be great. So if you want to be involved in that, you can talk to Jackie. Raise your hand right there. That's Jackie. Talk to her, and also you can put it in the connection card. All right, speaking of connection cards, in front of your chair, there should be something that looks like this. Oh, wrong way. There we go. Connection card. If this is your first time, we want to talk to you guys. Write down. If you have any prayer requests, write it down. We'd love to talk to you and chat with you. All right, also, raise up your bulletin. Who has a bulletin? Oh, thank God, there's more. All right, sweet. Awesome, we got bulletins. So there's some packed information here. We want you to read it. There's a lot of information about ministries, what Adventure believes in. We're excited about that. Also, the Connection Center. So when you leave, right out there, there's really cool tables. And there's a bunch of ministry stuff on the Connection Center, and it's really cool, specifically junior high ministry. Sorry, I got to promote that. It's awesome. But yeah, it's great. So also from there in the back, we have our care offering. And I know we just did offering, but care offering is something special we do here at Adventure. It's specifically for those that maybe can't make their mortgage payment for the month or can't turn on the lights or that they're struggling financially. And we want to come together as a community and serve you guys. And so if you guys are feeling extra generous to give the benevolent offering or the care offering, we'd really appreciate it. And so I'm going to pray for that right now, and then we'll wrap up. Lord, I just pray for the care offering, Father. Lord, I just pray for those that are in need. Lord, will you meet them where they're at, Lord? Will you meet them where they're at? And Lord, for those that maybe have a little extra money or even don't, Lord, will you have us just to give and just give and surrender it to you, Father? Amen. Thank you. And then lastly, if you need prayer, we have a great prayer team. So after service, if you want to come up to the front, we'd love to pray with you. If you have any prayer requests or just need some prayer, we'd love to pray with you guys. But yeah, so that's all I have. Sandlot Sunday. All right, guys, have a great Sunday.